Hello, everyone. Welcome to One More Prime, the Transformers Watch Along. I am Mike Schwartz, a man who regrets not getting a certain set of Combiner Wars figures. Yeah, figure out which ones. I am joined by my kids, Emmett and Elsa.
Hello.
Hi.
Who need to look at this. I found it on eBay. It's called Jinbao Best Bruticus Robot Decepticons Oversized Warbitron Toy Big Figure. Only $85.49. Seems legit, right?
Yeah.
We are watching The Revenge of Bruticus, episode 47 of season 2. Since this is kinda part 2, we'll just jump into the episode like we always do. Written by Larry Strauss and airing on January 8th, 1986, this is
The Revenge of Bruticus.
All right, we begin on a big green space rock. So as I said in the intro, this is kind of picking up exactly where Starscream's brigade left off, where Megatron exiled Starscream and the Combaticons, never to return again. And it starts off with Starscream is sulking and complaining, which the Combaticons have had enough and they want to get rid of him.
Who wouldn't?
Right. Yeah, would you want to be in the middle of space with Starscream whining the whole time?
No, I probably blasted him off a while ago.
We'll get to blast off in a minute. But Starscream has had enough, and they say he doesn't have enough power to fly back to Earth, but he's just going to go anyway, I guess. And with Starscream gone, the Combaticons now decide, hey, how about we go to Cybertron and take it over? Blastoff, Elsa, as you mentioned, he kind of hooks a chain to the rock and flies all the way to Cybertron, as they call it Fort Cybertron, and they are preparing for planetary liberation. At the exact same time as they're preparing to invade Cybertron, Shockwave, he sounds kind of tired and bored, doesn't he?
He's Shockwave.
I know he has like a monotone voice, but he's like preparing the sentry drones for, I don't know if he's like
training.
Calibrating them or training them. Yeah.
He's been working on them for a while. He's pretty tired.
Yeah.
But you know what else he's been working on? A false target system of holograms.
Yes. So Shockwave is training his troops. And at that very moment, the Combaticons arrive. Oh, yeah, and Shockwave is, creating these hologram missiles.
Told ya.
Just to
test it out.
Test them out, yeah. And then he picks up on his monitor the Combaticons and the rock, and they land it in a rather quick cut. Like, it's kind of coming down, and then they're all of a sudden walking on the planet.
We're just going to skip the giant impact crater we have left.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't need it, really.
And once the Combaticons are here, they do exactly what they should do in Power Rangers or Super Sentai shows. They instantly turn into a giant robot. 2 minutes into the show. I love this when Shockwave leaps out. It has a very cool action pose. But Bruticus is here just to take over as quickly as possible. He picks up Shockwave. Shockwave turns into a gun and shoots him in the face, which is pretty cool. And then even cooler, he uses Vortex's helicopter blades and just chops up some drones.
That's pretty cool.
This action scene's pretty neat. Like, Bruticus, it shows the power of Bruticus. He's just tearing through them all.
Especially shows the power of Bruticus when he's the only one to wield Shockwave as a gun.
Yeah, he picks him up, he takes a few shots, then he puts him in his little backpack and fires Shockwave into space. Then a Shockwave's out in space, and Starscream's in space. And the Combaticons, who arrived on Cybertron about 20 seconds before this, have now taken over the entire planet. So good, good for them.
Americans.
they're speed running. They've been practicing this.
Yes, it was. Yes. We go back to an American town that is being ravaged by the Insecticons. How long has it been since we've seen the Insecticons?
So
was it the
long.
Morphobot episode? I think.
Maybe.
I don't know.
It seems Megatron and the Insecticons are on good terms for right now, because as the Insecticons chew away at the city, they're kind of transferring the energy back to Megatron. And Megatron is also like making more clones. The Autobots attack. Just looking at the time code, it's only 4 minutes into the episode. And man, a lot of action.
We already have an ABC plot.
Yes.
Who wrote this episode?
This is Larry Strauss. Let me just check which ones he has written before. Ultimate Doom Part 1, Blaster Blues, Triple Takeover, and Revenge of Bruticus. Triple Takeover was not our most favorite episode, but Blaster Blues is pretty fun.
Yeah.
Prowl and Trax both have kind of hood-mounted missiles. Not sure we've seen before. The Autobots arrive in the town and see all the damage, and then Optimus Prime calls the Protectobots.
Would you look at
who
that?
Who are they?
I can't believe that these guys showed up just the way they are. They're hanging out in a building. They're inside like a warehouse.
Roll to the rescue. I mean, roll out.
Exactly. So all the other combiners, actually all the other Decepticon combiners get a lot of screen time and explanation of how they're built. Aerial bots, a little bit, but they haven't been in it that much. And then the Protectobots, this is the Autobots' second combiner.
They're the runt of the litter. I'm afraid to say it, but they're the runt of the litter.
They're my favorite as far as looks. I got the Combiner Wars set up here. I love the color scheme. I love the vehicles.
Oh, yeah, the color scheme's great.
But, you know, not to spoil it, but they don't even combine in this episode. They don't even... Do we even see their individual robot modes?
Nope.
Some of them, yeah. Not Hotspot. I'm pretty sure not Blades. Not First Aid. Only Streetwise and Groove.
I think so, yeah.
And Rook hasn't been invented yet.
No. No, this is the original.
I know.
Now we go back to the arc, and we see Perceptor and Spike. Spike getting his largest role in a while. And Perceptor is giving Spike astronomy lessons. And I love this part. So Perceptor is kind of explaining the infinite void of the galaxies and just how big space is. Chances of meteorites hitting Earth are so slim. You know, two objects colliding in the vastness of space is nearly impossible. And then what happens? Shockwave runs directly into Starscream.
Oh, it's you.
I know. What are the chances of them bumping into each other?
I bet Perceptor could tell you that.
Yes.
Imagine just watching that, having like the chance of something colliding in space is nearly
impossible. Starscream and Shockwave. Does he mention the Combaticons that they've taken over?
He does mention Cybertron, like, oh, I'm that close?
Yeah. And then Starscream says, well, welcome aboard. And then we get this wonderful image of Shockwave riding on top of Starscream. And
where are my peanuts?
And off they go.
It's incredible.
And we see the Combaticons back on Cybertron, and they've kind of taken Shockwave's, like, his space bridge platform.
His humble abode.
Yeah. And Onslaught says something very interesting. He says that how Cybertronian technology has increased since being imprisoned by Megatron. So this is a callback to those imprisoned renegade Decepticon cubes that...
Which were them?
Starscream took from Cybertron to make them. But this almost suggests that they... remember, like they have the personality and the memories of those cubes.
Oh.
They mention something like that a little later.
Is it just like the primes where all the knowledge is passed on or what?
I don't know. I mean, he specifically mentions being imprisoned. But I don't know. Like, I'm not too up on my Bruticus history, but that's kind of an interesting angle to them. And that leads to their want for revenge over Megatron. And Onslaught is also busy at work. He's monkeying around with the controls of the space bridge. And another kind of cool thing, Because when we watched this a long time ago, how the Earth is heading toward the sun, I don't think I got that he's using space bridge technology to alter the path of Earth. Which kind of makes sense how you could do that if you're creating like a portal from Earth to Cybertron.
Yeah.
I guess you could kind of, it gives a little bit of an explanation.
Just not planetary device go burr.
It was enough of an explanation that I was happy with that.
Yeah. What's not explained is how we all just don't die.
I was going to say, if we're any closer to the sun.
Yeah.
Goodbye, everybody.
The most we get is a farmer's well goes dry. So we see the protective bots who do not transform quite yet. They are tasked with evacuating the city. So they're clearing out the town so that the Autobots can fight the Insecticons. And once they give the all clear, then Optimus gives the order to blast away. And, you know, untold property damage results. They're kind of firing indiscriminately at the buildings. The place is a wreck. Insecticons are no.
Who cares?
Yeah. Spike and Perceptor arrive via power glide. Little nice touch. That there's been some kind of energy disturbances on Cybertron and that the Earth is being drawn toward the sun. And Optimus says, oh, we got to check that out as soon as possible. And they plan on hijacking the space bridge. And I want to go back, kids. Look at this animation.
Yeah, I saw that.
Where Prime attacks Megatron. Time code, 8 minutes and 14 seconds. He transforms, slide, duck, slide, slide, boom!
He's playing Mega Man 3.
Yeah, he just does quite a few combo moves.
Yeah, it's very cool. And while this fight is going, who's that? Is that Shrapnel?
Yes.
Shrapnel takes off a piece of the space bridge control panel and digs underground with it. And then Spike looks over and sees that the controls are busted. And we zoom in on the sun, which is looking a little bigger and a little hotter. All right, now we are back from commercial one. Starscream and Shockwave arrive back on Cybertron, and they decide to trick the Combaticons with that hologram technology that Shockwave was using. He kind of creates, they look like kind of 80s arcade robots, like Space Invader type things.
Oh, spooky. Yeah.
Like these metal, I don't know.
They look like that one.
Crab things.
Look like that one meteor dragon from the one episode.
It did look very close to it, yeah. And they're having so much fun with it that then they decide to turn these kind of space tentacle creatures into gargoyles. And the Combaticons are none the wiser.
How do they know what a gargoyle is?
I don't know. So once they've kind of kept the Combaticons busy, Shockwave goes back into his lab and he finds Onslaught's device, which has altered the path of the sun. And I love the shot where Starscream is very happy about it.
He just says, the Earth in the sun. Wait, Megatron's on Earth.
Yeah, he goes, terrific, Megatron. And then the animators put this little glint that shines across his eye.
This episode's full of nice details.
Yes.
Onslaught can't be seen with the backpack thing.
Yeah, the device is his backpack. Yeah.
Yeah, he can't be seen with the backpack thing fighting now.
Mm-hmm.
The glint. Just lots of nice details in this episode.
Yes. Shockwave wants to deactivate this thing, but then Starscream doesn't like that because that'll interrupt his plans, and he shoots Shockwave. But yes, details on it. We go back to the space bridge and the Autobots, they all have their headlights turned on and they're looking for the control panel.
But they're looking on the ground. Yeah, when like, oh, it's not on the ground.
Did anybody see Shrapnel take it? I don't think so. I think Spike was the first one to notice that it was gone. But then Prowl thinks he found something. He blasts a hole in the ground and it's just an old TV. And they'll go,
aww, it's a TV.
And Megatron is watching them do this, but then Starscream phones in, and Megatron's got a little receiver that pops up on his chest. He says, come in, Mega Bum.
That's one of the best ones we've heard from all of Transformers.
Yes. And he says to acknowledge him as a new Decepticon leader. And Starscream fills in Megatron of his plan. But then Megatron says, you're bluffing! And it's a shot where the sun is taking up almost half of the screen. It's like, Megatron, turn around. The sun shouldn't be that big.
You've been on Earth long enough. You should be able to tell.
Swindle finds the illusion machine, and they realize that it must have been Shockwave and Starscream up to no good. And then they capture them and take them prisoner. Then we go to this farmer who just wants a bucket full of water, and he doesn't get a single drop, and his crops are on fire. And yeah, here comes the Protectobots again, Hotspot. Actually, all the water boys show up. Here you go, Elsa. Here you have Red Alert. Woo-hoo! We have Inferno. Woo-hoo! Working palm side trees. By side.
Wait,
yeah,
what?
There's palm trees and a cornfield and mountains. I have no idea where they are. Is that Blades?
Yes.
That flies over. And he picks up some of the citizens. Don't touch that metal.
Oh, that's gonna hurt.
It's all metal.
And then we go back to the Insecticons. A lot of stuff happens in this episode. Megatron tracks him down because the Insecticons are just in a parking garage eating cars. Then the Autobots show up, and then Spike points out that, yeah, they found it, but the control panel's been damaged. The Insecticons chewed it up. And we go to commercial 2.
I gotta say, it's pretty weird to see the Insecticons eat something when they're not an insect.
Yeah, they're just kind of taking scoops out of a car hood.
Ew. It's like, look at this thing. I'll just eat it with my human-like mouth. Mm-hmm. That is so weird.
The Insecticons leave the control panel behind, and Perceptor examines it and finds out that he can fix it, but he needs specific parts. Now Prime offers to be a donor, and Megatron's like, no, I'm perfect the way I am. I'm not giving a single diode toward you.
Ah, yes, this machine's broken. Give it your appendix and tonsils. You don't need them.
They were both laying down, and then Perceptor takes their chests off. So I think he's taken some parts from some of them.
Perceptor goes in between them, and why does he look so tiny? Yeah. He looks so tiny and squat. He could join the Squat Boys if he always looked like that. And he just kind of like marches through and takes off their chests.
Now here we go. Here we see, who are these Protectobots?
Streetwise and Groove. Groove is the one with the eyes further apart than... can't think of a good analogy, but
a goat.
Looks like a bug.
Yeah, he does look like a goat with eyes as far apart as a goat.
He's even got a little goat beard. Yeah.
And yeah, he has a soul patch.
Yes.
And Streetwise is the one with sunglasses and a beard.
Mm-hmm. And what they're doing is that they are sending humans into a meat locker to cool off.
You think it smells in there?
Well, yes,
all the human sweat from outside, yeah. And all the meat, and that, yeah, stuff's going to be spoiled with that much human air.
Yeah,
it would be on them.
It would get kind of funky. Yeah, I hope they remember to let them out. Then Perceptor, he has repaired the control panel, and he sends both parties to Cybertron. They find Starscream and Shockwave. They let him out. Watch this. There's a frame where you see two Megatrons. They're explaining that the Combaticons locked them up. Boop.
Oh.
Megatron just kind of steps out from himself.
Clone.
Starscream is still trying to negotiate, and Megatron's like, yeah, you can be free as long as you do whatever you need to do to deactivate these things. And here we see... Now, does this scene just get way better looking for a few minutes? It's all this energy effect of them fighting. So it's the Decepticons and Autobots with Shockwave's drones too that are fighting the Combaticons.
Okay, who wasted money on Siege? blast effects.
But look, like, Optimus has two guns. Yeah, look at the animation. Like, everything's perfect. Drawn a little better. There's a little more dynamic poses.
It's all shiny.
There's a lot more shading.
It looks like the headmaster's.
Mm-hmm. So I believe this was Sunbow, which aren't usually super great. But yeah, those few shots, I don't know. Someone came in and did some really cool animation.
Y'all get a donut? Let me take care of this for you.
Donut? And the Combaticons get rounded up. But then, again, they are smart. They know when to combine. They form Bruticus. Bruticus says, I hate Cybertron. Bruticus hates you all. And he's starting to tear up the space bridge. And this is where Starscream tells Optimus and Megatron that he designed a failsafe on Bruticus, that there's three spots on his back. Very video game boss-like. And if you shoot those, then you will incapacitate him. See, now we see those dots.
This sounds like something suspiciously like from Splatoon 2 Octo Expansion.
Oh, I wouldn't know.
Neither would we. We don't have it.
Aww.
And just like last episode, Bruticus picks up Megatron, but this time, look how cool the shot is.
That is awesome.
Megatron's being held static, so that as you're looking at it, he doesn't move, but you just see Bruticus.
That is so
you're kind of
cool.
Going up his body until he's over his head.
Yeah. He should not be that massive, though.
Oh, but it's just so cool.
Think of him as like a stabilized camera, and
yes,
you're just
yes.
following.
Exactly. It was
oh,
so cool.
Oh, it's so cool.
That gives Optimus time to shoot the three spots, which makes him fall down. And then Sideswipe is the hero here. He runs in and he...
Oh yeah, Earth.
But then the computer readout says change of direction. It's almost like a joke. Sideswipe is like, yeah, change of direction. Yeah, of course. And then Sideswipe confirms, and then the Earth, which was so close to the sun.
We would... die.
Yeah.
We are
yeah.
goners. That is so... It was like
closer
kissing
than Mercury.
It.
Yes.
It was kissing it.
How do you think there are so little humans in season 3?
Oh.
And now Earth just goes back to where it should be, I guess.
It just moves back, which that's kind of weird. I think we'd all be flying off.
And then Optimus and Megatron, they kind of agree that Bruticus, he's too dangerous. And... kind of like Kremzeek, Optimus makes a decision to have something destroyed for the betterment of the galaxy. So we see two Decepticon jets pick Bruticus up by hooks, and with one blast, Megatron blows him up.
That's a powerful blast.
Or does he? As everyone begins to leave Cybertron, Megatron and Starscream stay behind. And here we see Bruticus. It was just an illusion. And Megatron is having him rewired so that he will obey only him, not Starscream. And they will be unstoppable. So it ends on not quite a cliffhanger, but just, you know, who won, really? So there you go. That is the end of the Revenge of Bruticus. What do we think?
Give it an 8 out of 10. Nice details. Nice animation. Like how it continued without being a part two, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good score. Elsa, what'd you think?
I give it 7. Okay. I think it was a decent episode, and points for my favorite characters being in it.
Yeah, briefly, but yes.
It counts, okay?
They had the thumbnail on YouTube, but.
I know, I'm so
excited to
watch this
episode.
That's
like the only shot that
episode.
They were in.
Like, oh my gosh, is is Red Alert going to be a main character? No, but it still counts.
Yeah. I'm going to go 8. I thought this was really fun. There were so many characters, and it kind of weaved its way through naturally. Like, the Insecticons, they paid off. They served a purpose. The space bridge device was cool, drawing Earth into the sun. And even the illusion machine. It wasn't just like a lot of those devices are usually made up just to serve a purpose for a scene. But this carried through the entire episode and actually resulted in kind of Megatron getting the upper hand by the end of the episode where he fakes Bruticus's death. Yeah, the action scenes were really cool. awesome animation. Yeah, I had a lot of fun with this episode. I'm, you know, 8.5. I'll go 8.5. So on that note, yeah. Feeling good, feeling good. We're almost done. Two more episodes of season two. The next one is Aerial Assault.
I wonder what that's gonna be.
It's like a rematch.
And then bot.
Okay.
Well, have a good night, everyone.
Good note, good note. All right, everybody. We'll see you next week on an all new One More Prime. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Goodbye.